Hello. Before we get started, just a quick ask. If you are enjoying this podcast, please go over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. Subscribe. If you're on Spotify, if you could follow, or if you're just out on Twitter or in the street, just tell a friend, tell someone you know that you think would like it. It'll just really help other people be able to find the podcast. Thank you. Everyone, welcome back to another episode of They're Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
We are here to break down the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they are connected, and why they are soulmates. I don't have a witty thing, but I wanted to bring up something.
It's why Ted will soon be replacing Sam in the bed next to her.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. It's not. It's just more direct, and but it's something.
But no, I had nothing.
All right.
I thought you were going to go with something with like Rick Astley or Never Going to Give You Up.
So no, that would have been probably good.
Okay. You know how when you are friends with someone for a long time, and then you get into a relationship with them. After you're in a relationship, sometimes you think back to some of the things that you did when you were friends and it seems funny. Like, I just think that if these two end up together, once they're together, she's going to be like, remember when you stepped in and started singing with me at my father's funeral?
You're right.
Because it's just like one of those little things where you're like, oh, maybe we did like each other more than we realized we did at the time.
All right. Yeah, that's good.
And mine with you has always been, before we started dating, I remember we were joking around at work one day and we were like, all right, if neither of us are married by the time we're 40, we'll just get married to each other.
Wow.
Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah.
And at the time, I wasn't thinking about you at all in that way. We were just like joking around.
What would have happened when we both hit, you hit 40 after me.
Right.
Well, we have gotten...
Well,
if we weren't married.
By the time we were 40, we had a 4-year-old. So
yeah, it's good.
I was 40. So yeah, probably. We probably would have ended up together. This episode is called No Weddings and a Funeral, which of course is a take on the rom-com Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yes, that's right. Which I saw in the theater.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think it was a date. I'm pretty sure it was a date. I wouldn't have gone to see that with...
Oh, shit. When did that movie come out? Because we did this with Love Actually.
It wasn't us.
Okay.
There's no way. It was early. It was 1994.
Oh, okay. That was not us. Because no. I was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
But we did that with Love Actually, where neither of us could remember seeing the movie. And you were like, I'm pretty sure I saw it on a date. And I was like, really? I don't know if I've ever seen it. And then we realized that it came out in 2003 or something. So we were already engaged. So we absolutely would have seen it together. And that's neither funny. Of us had any recollection.
And still don't. No. I couldn't tell you where I saw it, when I saw it.
Nope. And then we rewatched it and it was like watching it for the first time. So this episode first came out on September 24th, 2021. This is like the last episode we covered was September 10th. So there's obviously a gap. And that is because in between this episode and the one previous is Beard After Hours, which we are not going to cover on this podcast.
Yep.
This episode was written by Jane Becker and directed by MJ Delaney. And my little summary of the episode is that Rebecca's father dies, and it brings up a lot of feelings around death and love for several members of the team.
Excellent description.
Thank you.
It really is. I mean, it sums it up at the whole thing in a sentence.
Thank you. I appreciate that. When this episode starts, I want to just talk about Rebecca's nightstand real quick. So we learn a lot in this very short scene here. We see that the song I Want to Sex You Up is playing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that that is to give
color
us...
Color Me Bad, I believe.
Yes, I think you're right. I feel like that gives us kind of the frame of mind of where this relationship is. Like, the fact that it's a very sexual song over this is not really leading us to think that this is going to be like a serious romantic relationship. And I feel like they're setting that up kind of right off the bat here. And then Rebecca's nightstand is very interesting. She has some cotton rounds in like a little container.
Yeah.
And then like all of her, our daughter was watching this earlier with us, and she's like, she's very neat about how everything is placed on the nightstand. We got some Apple product placement, but Rebecca doesn't have an Apple Watch. Just a.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. And then we see her wear that ring a lot and then that bracelet. And I can't tell what that is. That, like a mirror? Maybe her birth control pills?
Oh, I can't tell. Maybe. I don't know.
But I love when you get to like peek into a character's like stuff like that. And who doesn't plug their phone in? Unless that they just had sex and this isn't like morning. Mm. Her phone is not plugged in overnight.
That stresses you out, huh?
That does, because I know she's going to flip that bitch over and it's got like 65% or something.
And there's no phone case. That gives me anxiety.
No one ever has a phone case on this show, yeah. And they have discussed that before. People have. And I think it's probably because they want to show the phone and see the Apple. It, yeah. But exactly.
Gives me anxiety, though.
I know. Who just walks around without their phone in a case?
I haven't seen. You don't see that anymore.
No. Now, they're in bed. We also find out here from this conversation that they have been together for, I would say, like 2 to 3 weeks, couple weeks, few weeks. And he says to her, the last time I spent this much in bed, this long of time in bed, is because I pulled a hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, they're obviously very much into each other. But I feel like they're kind of setting up that it's like a mostly sexual relationship. But remember how when she was with Luca, mm-hmm. Rebecca was very done up like the next morning in bed, like still very put together. And here, Sam is really getting to see makeup-less Rebecca. Like, Hannah Waddingham kind of talked about this scene a little bit before the season premiered, where she said there was a scene where Rebecca was in bed and she didn't want to wear makeup for it because she's like, I wouldn't be wearing makeup in the morning. So why would Rebecca? So I thought that was cool that they kind of, one, that she did this, but then two, it kind of shows how comfortable she is with him. He is getting a bit of the real Rebecca, where other people may have still had a lot of her armor up. Sam says, you know, can we tell people about us? And she's like playing it off, but you can tell that that's not even on her mind.
Right.
She's like, no.
And he's ready.
Yes. And she says, aren't you enjoying the secrecy? Because she's probably having fun. Like she mentions sneaking around at work and stuff. And he's like, no, it's really stressful. Sam mentions that he's going gray. You're 21, Sam.
Yeah, stop.
Yeah. And she's like, you don't have a gray hair on your head. And he's like, it's not there. Then she looks underneath the covers and he's like, no, it's not down there either. And he says, it's in my armpit. So he holds up his armpit and she reaches over and yanks out the gray hair. So they are like being very sweet and like silly together, which I think is, even though I...
Gray armpits. Come on. Like, that's the first place.
That's a good point.
Come on.
You know, I don't think that this is the right relationship for Rebecca, but it is nice to see her in a relationship, being able to have fun with someone, feeling comfortable, feeling relaxed, feeling like herself, being treated nicely. It's just not the right guy, the right type of guy. She's on the right path, but just... maybe not the right age.
Right, not a 21-year-old.
One-year-old dude. So they're in the kitchen together. She's making tea. They're being really playful again. Looks like they've gotten out of the shower. Her hair is wet. And he's again saying, like, you know, if we went public, then I would be able to kiss you like this. And he's kissing her neck, you know, in public. And she's kind of getting swept away a bit. And then he says, we have a bye week. Which I think means that they don't have a game that weekend.
Yes, that's exactly what that means.
Yes, and so he's trying to get her to go away with him, and she's about to agree to it. She's like, all right, where are we going? And her mother's voice from the background says, how about Greece? So this is the second time now that Deborah has interrupted
Rebecca. Right, and it's coming either to a naked man or almost fully naked man. Just always coming into a weird situation in the kitchen.
In Rebecca's kitchen. So I wonder if that's going to happen again or not. Like, it'd be funny if whoever she does end up with.
Every season it happens.
Yeah, it happens again as kind of to button it up. So Sam's a little embarrassed to be standing there in his underwear. And I just can't get over like how the actor who plays Sam doesn't seem like a small guy because he's about her height, but he's just so like slender that he does look so boyish next to her. And it just kind of is like strange to see.
Like, strange is a word.
I mean, just like he looks every bit of 21 years old standing next to her.
So that's a good point.
She realizes that her mom's in her kitchen and she's like, oh, great. That is where my spare key went. And then she's like, okay, what did my father do this time? And her mother says, he died.
I know. What an excellent intro open to the show.
It really is. It's fantastic. And it's so interesting how, you know, obviously Rebecca has issues here, but you can tell that like this sort of disconnection from feelings has gone way deep in her family because even the mother really never grieves this entire episode and comes over completely done up. You know,
right, like not like she's in distress or been up all night or
she didn't
whatever.
Call Rebecca crying. Yeah, she shows up and then just says, he's dead. Now we go to the club where it's obvious that everyone has found out about Rebecca's father. And so they're in the office. It's Beard, Higgins, Nate, Roy, Keeley, and Ted. And I love this scene because once again, whenever they have them together like this, you always learn little nuggets about each character in the room.
Right. That's a good point.
So we're about to learn, you know, kind of their views on death, which is interesting. So Keeley says, where do you think he is right now? And Roy says, in a drawer at a funeral home. And she's like, no, I mean like spiritually in a drawer in a funeral home.
Just keep saying it.
So we're getting the impression that, you know, Roy doesn't really have any deep thoughts about what death, what happens to you after you die.
No.
Then Ted says, I used to think if you did good things, you went to heaven. And if you did bad things, you went to hell. But now I know that we pretty much all do both. So wherever he is, I just hope he's happy.
We all do both.
We all do good things and we all do bad things.
Oh, I thought he meant we all go to heaven and hell. I was thoroughly confused by that. Now that what you said makes way more sense.
Like, did you think that the whole time?
I really
you
did.
The
I didn't
episode?
Understand that, but I never said anything until right now. Sorry. I know it makes me sound like an idiot now that I'm saying
it's fine.
It out loud.
It's okay. It's just me and then the people who listen to this podcast.
Right.
So you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, like he thinks it's like when your parents are divorced and you spend half your week.
Yeah. You go to hell for a little while and then you go to heaven.
Every other Jesus. Weekend. Okay. So and that this is gonna be an interesting thing that we're going to think of later in the episode when we find out more about Ted's father. Then Higgins says that he would love if after he dies, he wants to go to a place where the animals are the rulers and the people are the pets.
That's so interesting. I like that.
He wants to curl up at the feet of his late cat, Cindy Crawford. who we've heard quite a few times throughout this series. Then Nate says when he dies, he wants to come back as a lion. Oh, no, I'm sorry, a tiger. He wants to be reincarnated as a tiger so that he can ravage anyone who looks at him wrong.
Okay.
All right.
That's foreshadowing.
It is. Yep.
God, that is some serious foreshadowing.
And a little nugget into Nate's personality.
Yeah.
Then Beard, who always has like these interesting facts, says, you know, if you weigh a person's body after death, it's 21.3 grams lighter. And they say that's the weight of the soul.
And then Ted is
they're
really
all like,
into it.
And Roy's like, clearly, somebody weighed someone, then killed them, and then weighed them again.
I know.
He says, you live and you die, and that's it. And then he walks away.
Oh.
And Keeley says he's on his period. Now, what's funny is that Brett Goldstein has a podcast where he discusses the films you want to be buried with. And it's all, he has one person on each week and it's about their favorite films.
Ah.
And in the episode that he did with Hannah Waddingham, they were discussing, I think one of the questions he usually asks the guest is, what do you think happens? You think something happens after you die. And I was surprised that Brett Goldstein is very much of the belief that something happens to you after you die.
Oh, wow.
And so was Hannah Waddingham. And they were both like, I don't even know how you could think that nothing does happen. when you die, mm-hmm. which is the complete opposite of what I think. But
right. Me too.
But I think I was a little taken aback because you're so used to Roy. And so like really hearing Brett Goldstein be quite spiritual about what happens to you after you die was an interesting take. But every time I see Brett Goldstein outside of the Roy character, I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's just because we only know him as Roy, and Roy's so abrasive and direct.
And he's like so smiley, and he loves the Muppets, and it's just it's funny. So it's such an interesting difference.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Rebecca's gone to stay with her mom, so we get a little peek into Rebecca's childhood bedroom.
I know, which apparently is exactly the same as the way she left it. Right, yes. And she's got a Boys to Men poster on the wall, which it makes sense. Fits her demographic,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I think
probably the...
You know. I remember them in high school for sure.
And then she has a picture of Patrick Swayze on a horse.
So the funny thing about that is that Patrick Swayze is Hannah Waddingham's first crush, which I also learned on that same podcast with Brett Goldstein.
Oh, interesting.
She talks about how like when she watched Dirty Dancing, like she watched that movie so many times when she was a kid and she was in love with Patrick Swayze.
Maybe
so.
She was also in the Boys to Men too. Maybe that's like a thing they asked her what she would have been into
maybe.
As a kid.
Yeah.
As like, a good teenage girl or whatever.
Yeah. And then there's some Polaroids and like a denim dress hanging on the back of the door, which I can't imagine Rebecca's wearing now.
Yeah,
so maybe
it's just
like,
been hanging there since high school.
Possibly. It looks kind of like a 90s dress, but it looks like a dress today because that's just how the fashion works. Like all the 90s stuff is back, but it looks like it would fit like a 15-year-old. So it probably is an older dress. And then there's like a bunch of trophies. I love that you can see a mixtape sitting in front of her like little...
Her little boombox to play the mixtape.
A My Little Pony. It's very cute. And then Rebecca has her suitcase there.
Yeah, I know. They did a good job dressing this room.
Yeah, great. There's lots of little touches that are super cute. Never Gonna Give You Up is blaring through the house, and that's how she wakes up. So she's screaming for her mom to turn it off, and her mom's like, I can't hear you. She's like, of course you can't hear me. So she comes in, and she's like, turn off the damn song. She's like, I love this song. It makes me feel happy. She's like, you're not supposed to feel happy today. And her mom says, you should feel happy every day, Rebecca.
See?
Yeah. Is there anything you want? Like, again, like, she's just very closed off for her feelings. And so is Rebecca. And she's like, no, I feel happy, but you shouldn't feel happy. And then she's saying, the mom says, you know, like, oh, you still love this song. And she's like, yes, everybody used to love that song. But then we heard it a million times and now we're over it. But she, Deborah says, once I love something, I love it forever. Mm-hmm. Which is going to come back later in the episode.
That's right.
Yes. So they hear something rustling around outside. And Sassy has climbed up a tree outside Rebecca's bedroom window and has thrown herself onto like the little terrace balcony. And this is something that Sassy used to do when they were kids. So this is a cute little kind of nostalgic thing for Rebecca and them and Sassy. And her mom is like, oh, it's so nice to see you. Now you can hear somebody else in the background. And that is Nora, who is also trying to come up the tree. But Nora is a much different child than Sassy probably was. So she's being very careful. And Sassy's like, I could do this in a minute and I was drunk. And Rebecca's like, yes, that is true. And then they hear Nora kind of yell and she falls out of the tree and is laying on the ground. So they all go rushing out there and look down. And she's like, I'm okay. Yeah,
she fell.
Yeah, she
ate it.
Yeah. You know that Nora's not going to be sneaking out of the house anytime soon.
I guess
she's
not.
Terrible at it. We see Ted getting ready for the funeral, and he is dancing around while he's getting dressed to the song Easy Lover.
Right. And what was the line with Easy Lover? That
He was late that morning.
Right.
And he said, a man shouldn't take longer than Easy Lover by Phil Collins and Philip Bailey to get ready in the morning. So here's it. I just love how they have all of these like,
and then they reference, you know, that here he is getting ready to Easy Lover,
getting ready to Easy Lover, dancing around his
but
little
he's way into it,
boxer briefs,
I know,
pulling his pants on, his the little hairs flopping all over the place. We find that on his dresser is a photograph of his son, and then also the photograph that Nate gave him of when they had their first win that Nate wrote on to him. As he's putting his tie on, though, he has a panic attack. So his hands kind of go numb. You can see he's like having a hard time breathing. And we just know that this is not going to go well for Ted. And obviously, like, he's having kind of mixed feelings about his dad because he's about to go to Rebecca's dad's
right.
funeral.
But yeah, but you, it's funny because he flashes to the things that flash during the panic attack are things that made him happy. Like the army man.
The army man.
And he's doing Legos with his son.
Son. But
and
I
he's
guess,
beating Rupert at darts.
But maybe the darts are really tied to the dad because that's where he learned how to play darts.
Yeah.
Maybe he's flashing to his kid because of like his own father's son.
True, yeah.
Things. So yeah, like I'm sure that like, you know, those things that go through his head are not necessarily always bad things, but maybe just like important things to him. And
right.
so he has a panic attack. And then Avi wanted to make sure that I let who's our daughter, wanted to make sure that I let everyone know that this is the second time we hear Ted say a bad word. Because as he's starting to have his panic attack, he says shit.
Oh.
And the only other time he's cursed on this show, I think, is in season one, the very end, when he says, win the whole fucking thing.
Oh, well, look at that.
Yeah, because Ted usually doesn't like to curse. Guests are starting to arrive at the funeral. They're at the church, and surprisingly, one of the guests is Rupert and his wife, or fiance still?
Yeah, I guess so.
And his daughter, Diane. So he couldn't wait to take this opportunity to go here at Rebecca's father's funeral and introduce her to the daughter that he now has with the much younger Rebecca that he's going to marry.
Yeah.
This guy's such a dick.
I know. And just the line that he got rid of all the TVs in the house. He just watches them now. Shut up.
I know.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
And the mom is super nice to Rupert. She calls him Rupee. She's like, it's so good to see you. And then she makes this shoe. She's like, oh, what a chubby baby. And the baby starts crying. And Rebecca's like, great job, mom. You just fat shamed a baby. Rebecca sees the bus pull up and she's like, okay, I'm going to get the hell out of here now. And you can even see the look Rupert gives her as she walks away, that he is so happy that he just got to introduce his baby daughter to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, off the bus comes every single one of the team players. And she says to Higgins, how many? And he's like, they all came. And this is a nice little testament to how, you know, Rebecca started off wanting to ruin this team. And now this entire team is showing up to support her. And she says, none of them are wearing trainers. Because earlier in the episode, Isaac did have to tell everyone that they were not allowed to wear their trainers to the funeral. And they had to actually get dress shoes and look nice and wear suits.
And what's great is earlier in the locker room, too, what we also missed was that, we didn't cover that part, but Colin says, I'm not going to wait at midnight and wait all night for dress shoes. And they're like, you don't have to wait for those, which tells you a lot of the sneakers and shoes they buy are like probably limited edition.
Exactly.
You got to wait all night. And all so he just thinks that's the way it is with dress shoes, too. You got to wait all night.
Any pair of shoes you have to just wait in line and get.
And I forget who says it, but they're like, you don't have to do that with dress shoes.
Yeah, Jamie's like, nobody wants
it's Jamie.
These shoes.
That's what it is, yeah.
Now, when the guys kind of walk up, it's Isaac, Sam, Colin, and Nate, and Rebecca's like, hi, Sam, and Colin, and trying to act really casual as if there's nothing special going on between her and Sam. And I think one of my favorite parts is when Beard gets off the bus. And he just kind of gives her a little wink and finger guns, and she does the same back to him.
Yeah, that's the extent of it.
Yeah, because these are two characters that we have not really seen interact at all. And I would love for some reason that Beard and Rebecca have to work together to do something, because it would be fantastic.
That's a good point.
Keely and Roy arrive at the funeral, and Keely looks, you can see in the church, Rupert's there with the baby. She's like, that baby sucks. And you know that's a true friend when they're going to tell you that a baby sucks to make you feel better.
Right.
And she's like, oh, you don't have to say that. And she tells her, you know, I love you and I'm here for you and I'm not going to leave your side the entire night. Then she sees Sassy and Sassy screams, Jones! And she screams, Sassy! And then they just go running and she throws herself in her arms right after telling Rebecca she wouldn't leave her side. But like, it still doesn't really add any tension or anything. It's all like still like loving, and this is just Keely being Keely and being silly. And Rebecca looks at Roy like, what? And Roy's like, I'm used to it. When she gets inside the church, Sassy and Keely are talking about funerals and how they're so strange and if they would want to be reincarnated as a tree or a really stupid dog. And then Sassy's asking like where Ted is. And Keely's joking around like, oh, Sassy and Ted sitting in a tree. And she's like, shut up, troll. And then she's like, I'm sorry, I say mean things to beautiful women. So I'm still a little unsure about Sassy's character. And I'm hoping that there's nothing to it. But the only thing that makes me a little nervous is they've kind of brought up the way she said that. And then also the fact that she's always called Rebecca stinky. Just kind of makes me a little nervous that like maybe she's not the friend that she's supposed to be.
Oh boy.
But I honestly think, I'm hoping that I'm wrong. Like I think, and maybe it's kind of a thing where her friendship with Rebecca started off as jealousy and then evolved into something that it is now. And she's even voicing it and saying, I'm sorry, I say mean things to beautiful women. She's basically saying, I'm sorry when I feel insecure around other people, yeah, I tend to lash out. Yeah,
at least she's admitting to it.
Right, and so she's kind of admitting it and like owning up to it. So I'm hoping that these little tiny peaks of sassy weirdness that we've seen is just kind of showing that her character is just who she is and not that it's going to lead to anything in the future. But sometimes I do get a little nervous about the sassy character. Keely tells Sassy that she thinks that Rebecca is secretly shagging someone. And Sassy's like, really? She's like, do you think that at her father's funeral is not the right place to try to find that out? And Keely's like, I don't know. Maybe we should see. So they get a little plan to try to figure out who Rebecca is having sex with.
Yeah, at her father's funeral. They're going to figure it out.
Got to do something to keep this day lively.
I guess
no one is sad at this funeral. Rebecca's not sad. Her mom's not sad. Like, there's a couple of people in the background that maybe are sad, but this is most relaxed funeral I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and the mother and Rebecca had very disjointed
very disconnected from their feelings,
relationship with the father.
Right. Back at Ted's apartment, Dr. Sharon has arrived to help him through this panic attack. And I love that they are showing his completely disaster of an apartment.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because we've known that Ted isn't doing well this, season, year, whatever. And I think it's a real thing to show that his apartment would be a mess.
Right, it would kind of be in shambles. You're right.
Yeah, because he's not taking care of himself and he's not taking care of his apartment. The only thing that kind of concerns me is Rebecca's been eating the biscuits that come out of this kitchen.
That's a good point. Well, yeah. He's
shoving them in her face. So yeah, Dr. Sharon, maybe just slip Rebecca a little note that she might want to not eat the biscuits until Ted's feeling better. So she arrives and he is sitting in his living room, just kind of disheveled, but doing a bit better. He's out of like the main panic attack,
And there's like a bottle of whiskey on the table too. I mean, not that he's been drinking it, although there is a glass next to him.
Oh yeah, maybe he did have a drink just now.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we've seen some unhealthy drinking on Ted's end too. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say that he has a drinking problem, but I do think that he could develop a drinking problem if he continues down this road. And it seems like it's something that's been going on for a long time, especially based on when he tells the story here. So he asked Dr. Sharon, would you like a drink? You want some tea or something? She's like, no, I hate tea. Tastes like a wet paper bag. And Ted says, I'll tell you anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, somebody who doesn't like tea.
Right. Now he's like, oh, wait a minute. You are on my side.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Rebecca's waiting for the service to start, and she's like in the back room of the church. She and Keely are back there, and they're just laughing and being
so loud.
Really loud. And Keely's telling her all about the things that she used to do at church as a kid. So Sassy comes in, and she's like, I've been asked to tell you to lower your voices. And she's like, but I also brought this. And she holds up a bottle of altar wine. She says she stole it from a little boy dressed in a robe.
Oh my gosh.
Which, I mean, you think that's true? Or maybe she just brought it and then she just said that because she's sassy. So she opens it up and starts drinking it. And she's like, okay, so now let's get to who you are secretly shagging. And Rebecca's like, what? And Keely says, how about the bullshit text you sent me after the date? So she must have just said to Keely, like, oh, he didn't show up, or oh, I didn't like him.
Oh,
or,
right. Yeah, good point.
Because they really don't address, because Keely, you know, obviously was going to wait
right,
to see what happened.
She's going to
want
to know what happened.
Right. Then she says, and the fact that I have not seen you outside of work for 2 weeks. So I guess we can assume that the Sam thing's been going on for about 2 weeks. And then she says, and though, even though today is your father's funeral, you look like a woman who's been properly plowed.
Mm.
I feel like that's another thing for TV. TV, people can always tell when other people have had sex.
Mm.
You know?
They're yeah, like, it's a special power right? in TV.
Yeah. You have a glow or you look, but I mean, in real life, people just kind of, especially the next day, people just look like regular people. And you would yeah. never know that they had sex in it. I mean, maybe she seems happier than she should be at her father's funeral.
Yeah, now, but you're right. It's like I can work walk just, around work spotting people. Well, they've had sex, and it's clear. It doesn't
know,
make
it's
sense.
Like it's such a TV thing. So she realized, Rebecca's like, oh, shit. She realizes she's been caught. And Sassy mm-hmm. and Keely are so excited that they were all right. So they start screaming. And now the mother comes in with Nora, and she's like, the vicar says to lower your voices.
Mm-hmm.
And she, they tell Nora, and I love that Nora's in on this, the 14-year-old girl. They're like, okay, well, we're trying to figure out who Rebecca's having sex with. And the mom's like, oh, I know. And it's good.
Yeah, because she walked in on the in the yes. kitchen.
And now they're... Now Sassy and Keely are really amped up. So Sassy's like, okay, we're going to play 20 questions. And even Nora's like, this is thrilling.
That's so funny.
She's probably just very excited to be involved in the grown-up talk to begin with. And then it's gossip. So all Sassy has to ask is he tall? And Rebecca says, yes. And Keely says, is it Sam? That's it. That's all it was. And I love the delivery of the, how the fuck did you know that?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So they all start screaming. Now, like, I don't think I expected either of them to be like, wait, isn't he 21? Because I don't think that they're really in the mindset that this would be anything more for Rebecca than just kind of having fun, because they're both super excited for her.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best news they've heard in a long time. Then, as they're walking out, we see Rebecca say something to Nora, and she just says, sorry. Because as we learned in a previous episode, Nora has a crush on Sam.
Right.
But don't worry, Nora. Sam could be with Rebecca for almost as long as our marriage and then still marry you and have children.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because he's only going to so be young. 36. So don't worry about it. You still have plenty of time. But Nora's like, boss ass. So even Nora's not upset. And I think in an interview that she did on the Richmond Till We Die podcast, I believe it was, they asked her about that. Like, you know, Nora took it pretty well that her aunt basically slept with her crush.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, but I think she knew it was an unrealistic crush to begin with because right. she's 14 and he's 21.
That's a good
point. But listen,
if
we've learned anything here, what does that matter?
Yeah, it's only 7 years.
I mean, realistically, when
when they're old,
right.
She's older.
Yes. Yes, and realistically, when she's 30 and he's 37, that is a way better spread of age than Rebecca being 45 and him or 46 and him being 21.
True.
Dr. Sharon's talking to Ted, and she's trying to get to the root of why she thinks he had the panic attack to begin with on this day. And she's like, you know, you are about to go to a funeral, and that probably brings up a lot of feelings of your own father's funeral. But we find out that Ted did not go to his father's funeral.
That's interesting.
Yeah. For a 16-year-old to just say, I'm not going, I mean, that's pretty intense. And she asks him why, and he says, because he quit. So he had a lot of anger with his father when this happened to him. And he says, you know, I still hate him for it. Dr. Sharon says, you know, that's okay. this was something difficult for anyone to deal with, much less, you know, his teenage son. So then she asks him if he would like to tell her what happened that day. Back at the church, everyone's been removed from the room except for Rebecca and her mother because they were causing way too much
ruckus. Too loud.
Yes.
And drinking bad wine.
And Deborah says, do you know what you're going to say in your eulogy? And Rebecca's like, I'm not doing a eulogy. And she's like, well, you have to. He's your father. And Rebecca says, I have nothing nice to say. But the mom's like, well, he was good to you. He was a good dad and a good husband. And Rebecca's sick of this. So she's like, really? Was he? And they kind of start going back and forth a bit. And Rebecca's like, if you want to get into this right now, then I will say it because I'm really tired of holding on to this secret. And she says, Dad cheated on you and I saw it. She starts to tell her the story, which is that it was when the mom was away one time and she was supposed to be spending the night with Sassy. I love how since the mom's away, like Rebecca has to go stay somewhere else because the father couldn't possibly take care of one child who's 16.
Too hard.
You have to go stay with somebody else. So she was like, I was staying with Sassy. I even remember the date. It was Friday the 13th, 1990, and then they cut to Ted, and he says one. So at this point, and I will say that one of the, I'm going to cut in here real quick to say, one of the reviews that we had for our podcast was that we aren't really showing how these two are soulmates. We're just kind of like talking about the characters. But I feel like it isn't until this moment where, at least for me, like I knew that there had been parallels along the way, but then once this moment happened, it's kind of a Kaiser Sose moment where then you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
And then you realize that they really are trying to show us that these two people are connected because they are now saying that these two people had the worst trauma of their childhood that completely shaped their lives happened to them on the exact same day.
Yeah.
And if you go by the time difference, it could have even been at the exact same time because it would have been nighttime for her and afternoon for him.
No, so true. That's a good point.
Whether or not you even believe in soulmates, like you just have to realize now that the show is trying to tell us that these two characters are more connected to each other than anyone else on the show. Now you go back and think of all the other parallels that have been between them as the show's been going on. Like even she randomly went to the web, picked out some guy that she thought was a complete idiot, brought him over here for, you know, nefarious reasons to try to ruin the team. And like, does this mean that she basically, from that brokenness, like found the one person that she was supposed to be with? And he came there because he needed to leave and he kind of needed to realize that his marriage was over. So she was sort of saving him without even realizing it.
That's true too.
Then there's the line where Ted says, when they're talking about banter, and he's like, what if I got on there and met my soulmate and it changed the whole course of my life? But really, that's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Rebecca is his soulmate, then the course of his life obviously has been changed by her bringing him over there.
Right. Well, that's pretty good. Then, I like that. No, it's good.
And then he got divorced on the same weekend that was her wedding anniversary.
Right. Oh, that's they, right.
I believe that that was probably also Rebecca's first one-night stand after being married. I mean, I feel like they kind of set it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
So then they both had a one-night stand on the same night, but not with each other. So it's like all, and then, you know, she's come to his aid several times. He's come to her aid several times. So now it's just sort of that thing where it's like all those little coincidences really mean more if the show is trying to show you that they are connected.
Yeah. And like, well, another good coincidence. Did I say that word right?
No.
God, I have trouble
coincidence.
With it. Coincidence. Yes, what did I say? Coincidence? God. They, they're both confessing this thing at the same exact time.
Exactly, right.
And they're both getting it off their chest. Did you already say that?
No, okay. I didn't say that. They're saying it at the exact same time.
Okay, that's what I thought you didn't. But yes, they're both confessing it to, you know, they're finally talking about it to somebody for the first time.
At the exact same time.
Yeah, at the exact same time.
when Ted picks up with the one in the 1991, he takes over and you hear him say, in September, and he says, I remember the date because a bunch of us high school buddies were going to all watch the Jason movies, because that makes sense because it was Friday the 13th. They start intercutting the stories, and on the Peanut Butter and Biscuits podcast, they interviewed the two editors, AJ and Mel, and I believe, I can't remember which one did this episode, but they were saying that in the script, I think it was only the beginning where it told them where to cut, and I think it was 1991. And then after that, it just said their stories interweave. So it's really cool that this is an instance where the editor really got to tell the story.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They were able to make the decision as to like where the cuts were going to be. And it's so powerful. Like, even I can't even like explain, like describe this scene and do it any justice at all. So he says that he came home, he went up to his room, and then she's saying to nick a bottle of wine, like from your drinks cabinet.
Right.
It's going back and forth. And then as they got to the door, there was a bang.
Right. She heard, and then they cut to him, bang.
Right. And she and Sassy went to investigate. So she opened up the door, and there was her father having sex with Mrs. Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be a terror. Like, I don't think at all that they're trying to compare their traumas, because obviously what happened to Ted was way more devastating than what happened to Rebecca. But I think they're just trying to show that this traumatic experience that, like, really, I mean, that had to still be a very traumatic experience for her to see your parent like that, and especially with someone who isn't your mother. So I think it's just trying to show how they were both impacted so deeply by this. But
in this secret that they kind of kept with them.
Right.
Forever.
And so Ted heard a bang, and he opened the door, and there was his father, and he had shot himself. So he says that he, you know, he ran upstairs, went to the fridge, grabbed a Coors Light and drank it, and then he called his mom at work and said that she needed to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca says, you know, Sassy said nothing for the first time in her life, and I screamed, and I ran, and he came running after me. And then she says, and then the next day when I came back, he said nothing about it. So she says, that's why I've always hated him, and that's why I still hate him. Deborah says, I know. And Rebecca's like, you don't know how I feel. And she's like, no, I know about his cheating. And Rebecca says, you knew that he was cheating on you and you stayed with him? And she said, then I hate you too.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
It's got a terrible funeral.
Yeah, funerals are already shit.
And I know, and then this just opens
you
up
add a this on there.
Bunch of wounds.
They go back to Ted, and Dr. Sharon's like, you know, that's terrible, and thank you for sharing it with me. And then she says that he has every right to be angry, but now she says, you've told me why you hate him. Tell me something good about him. So Ted goes into a sweet story about how when he was in the fifth or sixth grade, he was supposed to read the book Johnny Tremaine, and he didn't do it. He was all upset, and he started crying the night before he had a test. And his dad said, you know, what's wrong? And he told him, and he's like, don't worry about it. Just go to bed and think about something good. And then the dad stayed up all night and read the book so that when he took Ted to school the next morning, he could tell it to him. And Ted ended up getting an A on the test. It's a very sweet story about how a father helped his son cheat on a test.
I know. I know.
When our kids were watching this, Isla said, you would never do that
for me. I'm
about
to say, I'd be like, oh, well, you messed up. Now, not only I'm going to take your phone away, and now you're going to get an F.
Yeah. Good
I'm not
night.
Staying up all night reading this book and then cheating.
Go cry yourself to sleep. But it's sweet because Sharon makes him remember a sweet memory about his dad. And then it turns his anger around and really expresses the fact that, you know, he's so angry because he couldn't believe that he was gone. And he wished, and part of him blamed himself because he was like, you know, maybe I didn't tell him that he was good enough and stuff, where really there's nothing that this little boy could have done to help what his father was going through.
True.
And I'm sure Ted knows as an adult now that you know, he was mentally ill. Like, there was, when people are, it's not that they want to leave, it's that they're so in a place where they think that their family
that's
would,
the only option.
Would yeah, be their family better, would be better off without them. Right. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure as a grown man, he can like see that now, but to really process that as a child is not possible. Then to add a little levity here, which I love that Ted Lasso does so often, he says, I don't know if this is illegal or not, but can I have a hug?
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. And she's like, of course. So she gets up and hugs him. And then he says, are you going to charge me for this visit? And she's like, yes. And for the house visit. So he's getting charged extra for this one.
I know,
one.
It's funny.
And before, where he was all angry about her charging for this, now he says, I thank you for your integrity.
So funny.
Now, Rebecca and her mom are talking more. And she tells Rebecca, I was too scared to leave him. And Rebecca says, don't you think that I was terrified to leave Rupert? And she's like, it's fucking horrible and it's really scary. But now it's actually started to feel pretty wonderful. And the mom even says, you know, I'm glad that you left him because he didn't deserve you. He was an asshole and you knew that you needed better. But Rebecca's like, well, why are you always so nice to him? She calls him Rupee.
Right.
And she says, because you can't, the more you let people know that they bother you, you know, then the more they're winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the more they have a hold on you.
Right. She's like, I just want to be the loving one because what's better, being loving or being right? And then she says it again. Once I love something, I love it forever. And she's like, you know, I'm actually glad to hear that you hate me because all these years I thought you didn't feel anything for me. And you can tell that really affects Rebecca.
Yeah.
So now the priest or minister or reverend or I don't know, comes in and says that they're ready. So their funeral's finally ready to start as they've been sitting there yelling. Like, you'd think they could hear them still yelling at each other.
Yeah, and in the background, I don't know.
As the minister starts talking about Paul, which is cute because they let you know that like he was an active churchgoer, but that he was always sitting there listening to the Richmond team.
Right, while he was in church.
So Richmond's probably been his team for a long time, maybe even before Rupert. But there's some interesting stuff going on in the audience here. So first of all, for some reason, Colin looks over to where Bex is breastfeeding her baby. And Colin looks like he just now realized what boobs were for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. He's like confused.
He looks very confused. But then we see Rebecca and we see Sam looking at Rebecca. And then Keely looks over and she sees Sam looking at Rebecca. Then she kind of looks over at Jamie and he's looking at her. And she kind of catches him. And then Roy looks over at Keely. So like a lot is said there without saying anything, which I thought was really, really cool. So the minister says, okay, Rebecca is going to come up and say something about her father now. And the whole thing with Beard and Jane in this episode is ridiculous. But the whole time he's had Jane on FaceTime and she's watching the funeral. But then for some reason she has no interest in her eulogy. So when Rebecca gets up there, he says goodbye to her and she hangs up.
I know, it's so odd.
It is very odd. Everything about Beard and Jane is odd. Rebecca gets up there and immediately says that she doesn't know what to say because she does not want to do this at all.
No, and you can tell she had nothing prepared.
No, she had nothing prepared. She probably, like, we never actually got to see her and her father together, but now we do have the idea that it was a very strained relationship. And probably so many things were left unsaid, and now she's just kind of put on the spot. But the back door opens to the church. Well, I guess just the door, not the back door. And in comes Ted. And he's trying to be all quiet and, like, slip in. And every single face turns and looks at him. But it's nice because it kind of takes the heat off of her for a second.
Right.
So he actually helped by showing up super late. So she goes into her eulogy, and she's just, like, struggling. And then suddenly she rickrolls everyone and just goes into the lyrics of Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah.
And no one can tell what she's doing at first. Everyone's just kind of looking around and looking at each other. But the mom knows what she's doing. And what's so sweet is, like, I feel like she's kind of doing this for the mom.
Yeah.
Like, we're okay.
I thought the same exact thing.
Yeah, which is really sweet. So mm-hmm. her eulogy for her father was basically telling her mom, like, I still love you. So she starts singing it. And again, just any reason to get Hannah Waddingham to sing here. Now, when they were shooting this, I don't know that it was always scripted that Ted was going to be the one that steps in. Because I saw an interview with Hannah Waddingham where she said that she was the one that was like, no, it has to be Ted who steps in first. So I really think that the order of who starts singing is actually pretty meaningful here also. She's going through the lyrics, and when she gets to Never Gonna Say Goodbye, she kind of breaks down and can't really mm-hmm. go on. And it's kind of quiet and tense. And then Ted steps in with Never Gonna Say Goodbye. And once again, everyone turns and looks at it. And he just kind of sings it for her.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, he couldn't help himself.
No. And like, it's sweet because he really stepped in and rescued her again. You know, like in this moment, they've gone back and forth kind of helping each other through very emotional moments mm-hmm. when they couldn't do it themselves. So the order is that Ted starts singing, then Keeley comes in, then Sam comes in, and then kind of everyone else does. And I don't know if they did this on purpose, but Bex never sings, which we wouldn't expect her to. And Rupert's face is hidden by someone else's head. Mm. So we couldn't tell if he was just sitting there. Like, we would never know whether or not Rupert chimed in. But most likely he didn't. But so now we've... You know, she hired Ted to come ruin the team, and now this team is basically her new family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all came to support her, and now they're all coming and singing along with her, plus all of these background actors who we've never seen before, but I assume maybe are an important part of Rebecca's life. I remember when we first watched this episode and that scene happened, I was like, what is happening? Like, it's just such a... It's just an out there thing, but it fits so well with Ted Lasso and like really just makes sense in this little bizarre universe that they've created.
And especially watching it a second time around, it made even more sense to me.
Yeah. And it's just such a sweet scene. Hannah Waddingham does an amazing job in it. And I just love how there's just so much like support for her from this little ragtag group of people that she haphazardly got together.
Right.
Now, when the funeral's over, they're saying goodbye to everyone as usual. And Rebecca is kind of going to take her mom's advice. So she's being very nice to Rupert now. And she's like, it was so great to see you. And they're inviting him over to the house for food after. And he's like, oh, no, no, you know, we really got to go. It's nap time. And Sassy says, for you or the baby.
I know. That was funny.
It's so good.
And one side note, where's the baby?
I know, right? I was wondering the same thing. Like,
him and Bex are coming out and there's no baby.
I'm assuming there must be a nanny that was like waiting in the car or something and has come taking the baby. But yes, I thought the same thing. In reality, they don't even have like the stroller or anything, which they could have just pushed out if like the baby actor wasn't able to work anymore. So before he leaves, though, Rupert tells Rebecca that he has decided to give her back the shares of the team that he had taken bought from the Milk Sisters because they just don't have time for football anymore. And she's like, kind of like a funeral present? He's like, sure. But before he leaves, he whispers something into Nate's ear and Rebecca sees it.
I know, but she doesn't really acknowledge it. But no. You know, it's something like, give me a call or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
The way he hits him on the shoulder.
Right,
you know, it's something.
But, let's talk
which
about...
I didn't catch then. Watching this
episode
the first time.
Yeah, I can't remember if I did or not.
Yeah, I don't think I did. I mean, I don't think anybody would.
Yeah, it's very
it's
subtle.
It's more of like, hey, nice seeing you.
Yeah.
But now you know it's something more than that.
Right. Yes, that's true. Like, you would have thought he was just maybe saying hi, although I doubt Rupert was ever very friendly with Nate because he's just kind of a dick all around.
Yeah.
Okay, our animals. So now I love this part. Sassy and Rebecca and Keeley are talking. And Rebecca says, I think I need to break it off with Sam. And they're like, what? Why?
I know.
No one's like, yeah, probably because he's 25 years younger than you. But again, I think that they're just thinking of this as like something fun and not really so much Rebecca's lifelong partner.
Right.
And Keeley says, are you worried about press stuff? Which is also another good point,
right?
Because at some point, if somebody were to see them out and they would end up in the tabloids together, that she would be treated horribly for it. And I'm not even so sure that that's not still going to happen. Like, I feel like there's probably a way that that could come into season three.
And oh, yeah. Yeah, easily.
And then Rebecca's like, maybe, you know, and she's just saying, she says something like, I'm not even sure if I, but she doesn't really finish the sentence. And Sassy says, is his penis too big?
And it hurts your little vagina.
It hurts your tiny little vagina.
It's so ridiculous. I know.
And then she looks over and sees Ted and says, speaking of, and she walks away. So once again, Sassy is here to let Rebecca know that that Ted is attractive, that Ted is good in bed, right. And now that Ted has a large penis.
Right.
And it's so funny when she walks over to Ted, because Beard's over talking to Sassy and some older gentleman, and he sees the two of them go up to her, and he's like ushering the guy away, and he's like, Bill and I are going to go talk about 1966.
Oh, weird. It's
such a fun line. So Rebecca is going to go break up with Sam. Keeley tells her, you know, be gentle with him, which of course she would. Now, I noticed in this house that they are shooting this, this is Rebecca's house growing up. This has to be a real house because Hannah Waddingham is not going to make that doorway. Like, I don't know if it's a shorter doorway or if her heels are exceptionally tall. Mm. She doesn't go through it, which is good because she would have had a duck.
Maybe nailed her forehead.
But before she can get to Sam, Danny comes downstairs wearing her slippers because there was a running joke this whole episode that he couldn't deal with dress shoes and they hurt so badly. And now his toe is actually like bloody and disgusting as he's standing in her slippers. And he's like, oh, it's so wonderful. We wear the same size. And she just says, you know what? You keep those. I love the cute little thumbs up she gives him too. And he's like, your generosity knows no bounds.
Boundaries. I know. It's so great.
It's such a cute scene from two characters that don't have a lot of airtime together.
Right.
But since Danny caught her, now Sam, through the doorway that she wouldn't clear, is gone. He's stopped talking to whoever he was talking to and has moved on. As Rebecca's going down a hallway looking for Sam, a closet door opens and he pulls her in.
I know. It's kind of scary. Like, all of a sudden this person jumps out of the closet and pulls her in.
And they call it a cupboard. I did not know that in the UK closets are called cupboards, which is what we would call like a cabinet.
Well, yeah, like the kitchen. Yeah, you're right.
I guess we don't really use cupboard much at all. I feel like that's an old term here. We would use cabinet. Yeah. But yeah, I was surprised.
I'd say pantry.
Oh, for
the cabinet or the kitchen.
For like a kitchen closet, right. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like coats and stuff. It's not even in the kitchen.
I know.
So he pulls her in there and he says, I've been wanting to do this all day. And he just gives her a big hug. And Sam really is a very sweet guy. Like, if she was not so much older than him, I would totally be rooting for him because he is a great guy and he's going to make somebody very happy. And she like falls into his hug and you can tell that it's like comfort for her because she does have real feelings for him. But then she's like, okay, you see the look on her face change when she's like, okay, I got to be strong here and do what I got to do. So she tells him, you know, like, you're so kind, you're so loving, and you're surprisingly wise for your age, which is all true. And she's like, but, and he's like, oh, I know. Oh no. And he says, I hate big butts and I cannot lie. And she says, you know, there's just one issue, one thing that I can't get past, which is that you're so wonderful. And it scares me that you could really hurt me. And I feel like that is so true here because, again, like I said in the last episode we covered, Rebecca's the one with everything to lose here.
Right.
Because Sam has all the time in the world and they could have a long relationship together and he could still go on and have a family and anything. He's not going to miss out on anything by being with Rebecca in this time.
True.
But then Rebecca is going to end up having to restart her life again in her 60s if this doesn't work out and he decides that he does want a family and, you know, they end up breaking up. So she's really the one with the most at risk here. And she says, you know, you could really hurt me. And he says, well, you could hurt me too. And she's like, well, doesn't that scare you? And he says, no. But again, he's 21.
Right, so exactly.
It's not as scary.
Because he got to lose.
Right. The prospects here are not as scary for him as they are for her. So he's like, you know, all right, I understand, you know, take the time that you need. And I respect that. He's like, but there's just one thing. I'm going to get even more wonderful. And she's like, I know.
I know, that's great.
Ted's the last to leave the house when everyone's saying goodbye at the end. He was the last one to get there. The last one to say goodbye.
Last to leave.
And he's like, I'm sorry for your loss. And the mom's like, why? You didn't kill him.
I know. odd thing to say.
I know. So detached from her emotions today. And he's like, all right, well, I'm sorry for being late. And Rebecca's like, oh, yeah, is everything okay? And he's like, everything? Heck no, but I'm doing okay. And then he says, I only got to meet Mr. Welton that one time, but to see a man still be able to do every move from Singing in the Rain, he's like, it gave me a lot of hope for growing older, which is cute. And I like how they kind of add this in. You know, it's funny because we see little pieces of, that's why, like, when I say we don't really know what happened between them with the voice message, like, here's a good example of the fact that we don't see every moment of their lives, obviously. Right. We see these little slices during the week or whatever they show us. But, you know, in this little universe, these characters would be doing other stuff. And so he would have met Mr. Welton at some point. So there is a possibility that Ted and Rebecca completely talked about the voicemail afterwards and we just never saw it. But something that's kind of that important of a point in the story, I think.
Yeah, you think.
Maybe, yeah, either there's a reason why they didn't talk about it or it'll come back later and not something that maybe they just talked of off screen. But possibly. So the mom says, you know, Paul loved two things, attention and making her laugh.
Mm.
So Ted kind of did hear for Rebecca what Dr. Sharon did for him, where he made her remember something sweet about her dad. And she says, you know, like, I forgot that. Thank you. And then he leaves. And he leaves with Sassy.
Yep.
So I'm starting to wonder about Sassy here. Now, I think I was thinking that this was the second time they hung out. But I want to remember that in the episode where she goes away for the weekend and Rebecca and Nora spend the weekend together.
Right.
She comes back earlier than she was supposed to and goes to the football game. So now I'm not so sure that she and Ted didn't hook up then either.
No, so possible.
We don't really know what they're doing. Right. But they obviously are still spending time together now that they've seen each other since that Nora weekend. And that's the other thing, too. Where's Nora? But she's 14, so
right, I guess
she probably just left with friends or something. Right. She's not a baby that's not going to die if it's left in a room by itself for an extended period of time.
Maybe she's in the house.
Nora?
That's what I'm saying. Well, maybe she just left her. She's spending the night in the house. I don't know.
In their house?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
No, she's not staying with Rebecca, but she probably went with like a friend or something.
No, I know, but she stayed with her before.
Oh, yes, true.
In a real house. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying.
But then we probably would see her at the end of the episode.
That's true.
Yeah. She's not here. I'm going to say she went with her friend, Patricia.
No, I know. I'll go with that,
And
too.
They went to the mall, or whatever you'd call the mall in the UK.
Whatever you call the mall.
And then the cinema, and then they're having a sleepover.
All right. Yeah, that's fair.
Because there's no way Ted is bringing Sassy back to his place. So if anything is going down tonight, it's going to happen at Sassy's house.
That's a good point.
And Deborah sees Ted and Sassy leave, and she says, Florence really does like wounded birds, doesn't she? So it's like Deborah kind of sees Ted as a wounded bird, which is sad, but also kind of cute. And then she sees Rebecca looking at Sam, who's getting on the bus, and just kind of looking at her longingly. And she's like, oh, are you guys on a break? And she's like, how do you know that? She said, I'm your mother. I know everything. Which is another thing I think we're going to see in season 3, probably. That's going to come back in some way. And just like her mom being able to know things about her before she does. And then she says, yes, we're taking a break. And she said, I saw him looking sad coming out of the cupboard. That's how I knew it was that they call it a cupboard. So now later that evening, Rebecca and her mom are laying in her childhood bed and they're looking through old pictures. And these have to be real pictures of Hannah Waddingham and this actress when they were younger. And I love that she's looking at this one picture and she's like, oh, you look like a little boy. But it really is a picture of Hannah Waddingham as a child. And then she's like, well, you're the one that cut my hair. And she's like, I always wanted a little boy. And Rebecca just rolls her eyes like, thanks, Mom. So it's cute because they're bonding. And then she pulls a tape out. It says summer of 79. She puts the VHS tape in a little old TV that's still sitting on a stand. I know,
like that they still
there.
Have a TV with a VCR.
Yeah, because her room is exactly
an
how
old
she
TV
left
tube,
it.
TV tube, yeah.
It's probably how it was in 1994. And it's an old video of Rebecca as a child. I would say she's probably two or three here, playing in a bowl of water out in the backyard. So I think Rebecca is probably closer to my age than Hannah Waddingham, because she would have been born in like 76. So I'd say she's like 45, 46. And then the tape, you could tell that somebody recorded over it and they get Rickrolled. And it is the video for Never Gonna Give You Up.
So funny.
And the mom starts dancing. And Rebecca's like, I think you had a thing for him, didn't you? And she's like, maybe I did, but that's not him. Because there's a running joke that people think that Rick Astley is a black man with when they don't see him because of the way his voice sounds. So she's like, really? That's him? And then she's just kind of dancing around and the episode ends. It is
poor Rick Astley.
No, you know what? He tweeted on, he wrote a tweet with this and was like, oh my God, it was so... Like, he was very touched that they used his song.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, I'm sure he knew they were using it because they wanted to get the rights for it.
Right.
But he kind of like made, and then Hannah Waddingham replied to the tweet also and was like, I'm just going to private message you because I don't want a fangirl all over Twitter.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so that's really cute. Okay, so let's see. What did we learn in this episode? I kind of combined the what we learned about Ted and Rebecca together into one. Because we learn that they both experience this trauma that like shaped their outlook on relationships and life after that on the same day. And I think we learned that a lot of the coincidences and parallels between them maybe aren't coincidence anymore because they really are trying to show that these two people are tied and or connected in some way. For what Rebecca learned, I put that the team loves her. Like, I think she really felt how much they all care for her in this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With everyone showing up and everyone wearing uncomfortable shoes for her. And then everyone in the room kind of joining in, singing and helping her along. So I thought that was very sweet. And she learned that her mother basically knew that the father had been cheating
all along
the whole time.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, that's devastating. She's been carrying the secret around for... 30 years?
Yeah, something like that.
And when she finally, you know, gets it out there, her mom knew the whole time. And like, there was another episode where Rebecca said that when her mom left the husband the first time, she was like, good, and told the mom that. And then the mom got mad at her when they got back together. So not only did she carry that secret around for so long, when she tried to help the mom, it didn't even work. You read what did Ted learn?
Well, much like him, Dr. Sharon hates tea. And it's pretty important. Well, it's a pretty important moment because Ted then realizes he can tell her anything.
Right.
He feels like a connection with her.
He does. Yes.
I mean, and it's partially joking when he says, I'll tell you anything you want to hear. But at the same time, I think it's real. It's real.
Yes. It's a silly thing that they both have in common, but it really does gain his trust. His trust for her.
Yeah.
Like, he's thinking like, okay, you're the one other person in this country who realizes that this is garbage water. So
I'm gonna water.
Okay. And then are they any more aware of each other? Oh, I didn't update this from last week, but I'm going to say yes.
I think so too.
Yeah. Not in a romantic way
yet.
Although she did seem a little intrigued by Sassy's, a big penis comment as she walked away. But no, I think when these two get together, I feel like this will definitely be one of those things that they look back on and think like, oh, you know, remember when you helped me that day and stood up at my father's, or didn't stand up, but started singing to help me at my father's funeral. So it's a very intimate moment between these two people, even though they are not in a relationship yet. So I think that's all.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the dog is, can you hear that?
Yeah, it's the dog and the cat.
They're
fighting or something.
They're just playing fighting.
Animal like kingdom around here. I know.
As soon as we sit down to do this, everybody gets very excited to make
to
noise.
Play and do whatever they can to aggravate. Yes,
absolutely. Okay, so the next episode we're going to cover is called The Midnight Train to Royston. Something like that. And that is all. All right. Oh, you can reach us at Ted Becca Podcast on Twitter, or go to anchor.fm/Ted Becca Podcast, and there you can leave us a voice message. And if you would like to leave a review on either on Apple Music, you can leave, or Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review and a rating. On Spotify, I think you can just leave ratings. So there's, I listen to Glennon Doyle's podcast, and she's like, if you enjoy our show, please leave a rating. And if you don't, just move along.
I know, right?
But no, honest reviews always. Okay. Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Oh my gosh, the animal.